All right, Yup Nation, as we sign out from our episode today, I just want to give you a quick reminder about Buzzsprout. If you ever thought about starting a podcast, I recommend Buzzsprout. The team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Buzzsprout helped me get listed on every major platform. So please join over 100,000 podcasts already using Buzzsprout, Buzzsprouts to get your message out to the world. Don't forget, click the link and Buzzsprout will pay you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan. Yup Nation, God bless you and God keep you. And keep listening to Pastor Dan and the Young Upcoming Preachers podcast, where we help you develop, discover, and deploy your gift in Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Welcome again to the Young Upcoming Preachers Podcast. It's your host, Pastor Dan, in season two of the Young Upcoming Preachers Podcast, where we help you discover, develop, and deploy your gift in Jesus Christ. Amen. So on today, we want to take a different approach to our podcast to show you, we usually think about ministry in terms of civilians, in terms of everyday life, but I don't know if we've ever thought about the chaplaincy, ministry in the military. On today, we have with us Major Kenny Neal, Young Upcoming Preachers. Let's give him a round of applause. Major Neal, how are you doing this afternoon? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background?
I'm doing exceptionally well today. Praise the Lord. God bless. It's difficult to tell you a little bit about me because I'm so old right now. but the thing about it is that been in the military right now 33 years, be 34 years.
Wow.
I started out enlisted, and then of course the calling came.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the calling came way before I even became a chaplain or enlisted.
Wow.
I just chose not to take the calling.
Okay.
Because it was daunting to me.
Right.
It was something that I wasn't quite yet prepared nor ready for, and I did not have the people there to teach, lead, guide, and direct me to where I needed to go.
Understood.
In the calling.
So, understood.
But I've been in the church for quite a long time. Praise God. He's kept me. And I think above all things, trusting God with my life was the best thing I've ever done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Amen. So did you grow up in church?
Let me see. Did I grow up in church? I didn't start going to church until I was 14 years old.
Okay.
And my mom said to her children, she said, okay, it's time for you guys to go to church because you now have to take responsibilities for yourself.
Okay.
And so, like, that was kind of deep. And so I'm like, okay, I guess I need to go to church because if I have to be accountable and to myself and God, then I need to know who God is and how
okay.
to operate in that.
So yes. Did your mother go to church or she sent you guys?
She sent us to church. That's because she had to work all her life.
Okay.
Single parent.
Okay.
Seven children.
Wow.
And so oftentimes working on even Sundays. So we were sent to church.
Okay.
Yes.
So now where are you from?
I'm born in Greenwood, Mississippi.
Okay.
Raised in Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago. Okay. What part of Chicago?
South Side.
South Side?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Amen. So so you joined the military as an enlisted soldier. I mean,
yes.
As an enlisted airman.
Airman, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So Air Force.
Air Force.
Okay. So talk to me about your military journey.
Whew, man. See, this is going to take like hours by the time I can finish with this.
The short version.
I don't know about the short version. Anyway, I was... discussing with my classroom and graduating from high school, I was discussing, we were discussing what's next in our lives.
Right.
We had no clue.
Okay.
And so we had a friend slash cousin, I would call him, that went to join the Army on the SPIT program. He did basic training first, and then he's going to go and do the rest of his training and continue on. So we all decided, well, we can join the army, you know, catch up with him eventually and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. However, in the midst of all of that, our teacher, Mr. Hamilton, came and he laid his hand on my shoulder and he said to me, he said, Kenny, you are not army material.
Okay.
You need to join the Air Force.
Okay.
And he gave me everything I needed to do while joining the Air Force. Okay. And laid it out for me.
Okay.
And praise God, he never lied to me at all.
All right. That's what I'm talking
about. I couldn't
do
the Army. Yeah. Lord knows, I just could not do the Army.
Right.
So 1988, I joined the Army.
Okay.
Of course, I went into security forces. Set in security forces for about 2 years before they inquired of me if I wanted to become a personnelist in security forces.
Okay.
So I had a dual AFSC doing two different things at one time.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That. Mm-hmm. Okay.
After that, I became a personnelist, then did a little bit of recruiting, then I was a crew assistant advisor, and then became a chaplain assistant. So okay. I had five different AFSCs enlisted, and now I'm a chaplain, which took every bit of... forever.
Okay.
If you will, I would say forever because I was still pushing against or kicking against the prick, actually.
Right.
Becoming a minister or anything of that nature. So it didn't happen until 2008 when I became a chaplain.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was that transition like from an enlisted airman, because I know a little bit about that,
okay,
to actually being a chaplain? And if you could speak to prior to that, reservation, because you were a chaplain assistant,
yes,
reservations on actually becoming a chaplain. And we're going to dive deeper into that a little bit later.
Oh, wow. All right. The difference in becoming an officer as opposed to an enlisted personnel,
right,
was such that you're now going to have more responsibilities. You're going to now be... in a sense, but not for chaplains, of course, supervising more people.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is this, as a chaplain officer coming in, we're not supervising anyone.
Okay.
Which is a great thing.
Right.
Because we're still learning. And that's the best way of starting us out and pushing us forward. We're learning what we're going to do and what we're going to become
right
in the future. What I would say more so about the difference in those things, because I was a master sergeant when I crossed over. So I had the skill set needed to become an officer. However, separating the two, I found wasn't difficult, strange.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you become an officer, you normally know you do outrank every enlisted personnel.
Absolutely.
So people decided or thought that I was still carrying my master sergeant stripes as a first lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to let them know that I rank a master sergeant.
Right.
And so you were very well respect me. And I think the difficult thing was back then when I joined, there was a total lack of respect for chaplains.
Right. Okay.
And so I come along and I'm saying, I'm not the one they're going to disrespect.
Right.
As a master sergeant, I respected every officer.
Right.
And as an officer, you're going to respect me.
Right.
And it was just that simple. So
absolutely,
that was the rub in all of that. But I say that understanding who you are in that role,
mm-hmm,
is key.
Right.
Understanding who you are in the role as an officer and a chaplain. So it's two different things.
Right.
It is.
Okay.
So I have to wear the officer hat and the chaplain hat, believe it or not.
Right.
So in that, it's interesting, but I choose to want to wear the chaplain hat more so than the officer hat.
Amen. Because, absolutely.
Yes. So that's the calling. That's what pulled me to where I'm going.
Amen.
But I had to become an officer to do that.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay. So if the young upcoming preachers network did not know, I too served in the Air Force.
Yep.
I retired after 20 years and 6 days as a master sergeant. So mm-hmm, I do understand a little bit about, I do understand the military structure,
yes,
and how that could have been hard.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked a little bit about disrespect towards the chaplain. So in the chaplaincy,
mm-hmm,
as a whole. So I want to talk a little bit about how we met and understanding why we came to this moment, how we're here at this moment.
Okay.
So I am one of my mentors and one of my great teachers and a great friend of mine, Bishop Elijah Valley,
yes,
over in Lake and Heath / Milden Hall.
Bishop,
Bishop Valley. I love that guy.
Yes, sir.
He was a mentor to me. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I don't get emotional here.
Right.
So I tell a story all the time. Reverend Montgomery right here in Wichita, Kansas, taught me how to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Smith over in Japan, Misawa, Japan, he taught me how to be a leader.
Okay.
But Bishop Valley mm-hmm. taught me how to be a pastor.
Yes.
And the funny thing is we spent so little time together, actual time together,
right.
but a valuable time mm-hmm. that he, without me being under his structure, without him having no, for lack of a better word, really responsibility for me mm-hmm. or of me, poured so much into me.
Right.
So every now and then I would go and visit. He would invite me to preach. I don't know why.
Yes.
Not the greatest preacher. But he would invite me to preach. And I would preach. And one of my opportunities there, I met you.
Yes.
So, and Bishop Valley introduced us, and he introduced you mm-hmm. as the chaplain.
Yes.
Over at, was it Lake Heath or Mildenhall?
Mildenhall.
Or Mildenhall. Mm-hmm. And I had to turn my head and say, what? And yeah, he's a member, and he's mm-hmm. he does all this great thing. And for me in that moment, without you even noting, I had so much admiration for you, and it was also strange.
Okay.
Because we as military people, we look to the chaplains as pastors, yes. even though they may not be, mm-hmm. right? Or even though they may not even be called into that. And we're not even going to get into that. But for you to humble yourself, in my opinion, that's what I thought it was,
okay.
and be a part of another ministry mm-hmm. that was strange and different and admirable at the same time.
Okay.
So can you talk to us a little bit about why it's important to you to be why was important to you to be connected to a ministry, even though you had ministry responsibility somewhere else? That was the question.
Okay. Oftentimes what happened in the midst of becoming a chaplain, we are always pouring out
mm-hmm.
and we're constantly pouring out of ourselves. And it's a good thing because we're pouring out for God.
Amen.
But we also need to be fed.
Yes.
And oftentimes we don't get fed in the proper way. Sure, we go to our conferences once a year.
Right.
But once a year isn't enough feeding to take you. Imagine me eating one time a year for 1 week.
Right.
And I got the other 360 some days
right.
of not eating.
Right.
Then I'm malnourished.
Right, of course.
And so we heard about him being in the area. My wife went to the church one day, and then I went the following week, and as we were looking for something, because at that point in time, I didn't even have a role in the chaplaincy because we only had one Protestant worship service.
Okay.
So we had someone already doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, okay, then when I need to be, I'll be here. And if not, I'll go where I need to go and minister there also. So I went, I there for one day, my first day, then introduced to Bishop, and we hit it off at that point in time right there. And I kept coming back and going back. And I think, I want to say the first day I met him, he asked me to preach. And so that's not common for any pastor in the world.
Right.
You don't quite know who I am.
Right.
But you trust the God in me.
Right.
So that was deep.
Right.
And I think it's more so trusting the God in me as opposed to knowing who I was.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, yeah, Bishop, I'll come. I'll preach. And from that point on, I was hooked
mm-hmm.
because you just don't get pastors of any sort bringing you into their place that you don't know of.
Right.
And I don't think he ever knew of me until the day I showed up there.
Right.
And I wanted to sit back and just receive, but I did both. I received and I gave out,
mm-hmm.
which was what was needed.
Amen.
So, yeah. And I think it's more important also when you're in a place, pastors, preachers, ministers, and the like, when you're in the place, be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And in your humility, God will elevate you.
Amen.
And I think
that was the
key. Yes.
That's
I think that was the key in all of that.
It
wasn't that I was coming looking to preach or looking to teach or looking to do anything of that nature.
Right.
However, he allowed me to preach. He made me the pastor of spiritual development,
mm-hmm.
and as I was teaching the other ministers and pastors throughout the whole process, it just was a perfect fit.
Amen.
Where God had me at that point in time.
Amen.
And so I praise God. I do too. I love Bishop Valley. I praise God for him. He too was one who helped lead and guide me, and also my other bishop. A whole lot of bishops. I got to name them all now since I went there. Bishop Trotter,
right.
Larry Daniel Trotter, my bishop at Chicago. Then I had Of course, I mentioned Bishop Valley and Bishop G. Vincent Dudley down in the Scott Air Force Base area where I became, that's where I became a chaplain, but he was the one who geared me into becoming a minister in the church.
Amen.
And that's a story within itself.
Right.
And it really is. And I'll put it to you this way. I talked about not wanting the call.
Right.
And I was running from the call for a mighty long time. And mm-hmm. so I did everything else in the church except the call. Mm-hmm. So let me see now. Choir, usher, junior deacon. Then I joined the sign language team and to learn that. And so I was keeping myself from getting in the limelight of being up front.
Right.
I didn't want the calling. So eventually Bishop Trotter asked me, he said, why aren't you in your calling? And I said, well, I don't know, sir.
Right.
You know, and I gave him an excuse, and my excuse was that, you know, it's difficult for me to follow some people that he had in leadership.
Okay.
And so I went away. I was still enlisted. I went away to school, and I came back, and every word I said to him, which was, and when you remove people out of leadership, then I will take my rightful place.
Right.
So I get back 4 months later, and guess what? He had moved everyone out of leadership. I said, you got to be kidding me, Lord. I said, no, this cannot be the case.
Funny.
It was. And so I said, no. So I joined the youth ministry.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm fine. I'll be in the youth ministry. They have a youth pastor already. I'm not needed to be the youth pastor.
Right.
I can assist. So I'm good at assisting. And then eventually become active duty, move down to Scott Air Force Base. I'm hiding now in the chaplaincy.
Right.
So what I mean by that, we went to the church on base.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, cool. I can do this. I'm chilling, just receiving everything I could receive.
Okay.
And God had, at the time, Chaplain Dudley say to us, if you're called into the ministry, come see me. And I sat there and I thought about it. I said, this just cannot be real, Lord. Mm-hmm. It cannot be real. If you're called, we don't do this in the chaplaincy.
Right.
So I didn't move. I'm like, I'm good. So he said it again. And I'm like, yep. I don't know who he's talking to. He couldn't be talking to me.
Right.
So I go home and I begin to pray now. And I said, Lord God, I said, if he says it one more time, then I'll get up and I'll move forward.
Right.
So it's a bad thing to eat your words. So he said, this is my last time saying this.
Right.
If you're called into the ministry,
right.
and everyone has been telling me, you need to. I'm like, no.
Right.
And so at the third time, I went up and I said, okay, I'll become a minister. So I was a youth minister at Scott Air Force Base. This other chaplain, I mean, I was just surrounded by people who saw what God saw in me, but I didn't mm-hmm. see it, Chaplain Holmquist. And so I was a youth minister there at Scott Air Force Base, and he said, you should become a chaplain. I'm like, why do people want me to become a chaplain and a preacher and a pastor?
Right.
That's not what I want to do.
Right.
But the sad part about it is I didn't know what I wanted to do in the first place.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, God, if this is your will, you have to make a way because I don't see it for the life of me.
Right.
Right now I was 35 years old, mm-hmm. 34 maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought I was probably too old. And I was a crew assistant advisor. So I sit down and I said, okay, here I go. Let me go and see how this all pans out. So I'm talking to God and he says to me that his will and my desire are about to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Lord, I have passed the age of becoming an officer. Right. That's not even going to happen.
Right.
And he said, my will and your desire are about to line up.
Okay.
So I said, okay, Lord, if this is your will, this is what I need for you to do. I need for you to pay for me to go to seminary because I can't afford it.
Right.
You know, 100% of my tuition paid for. And then I'll go to seminary. I'll become a chaplain. And I left it at that. I get up the next morning, go pull my AFIs, and I look in there and I say, to become a chaplain, the cutoff age is 42. I said, God, you know what you're talking about. I said, you're killing me. Right. So I accepted the call. I accepted becoming a chaplain, and I started moving in a direction. And I applied for seminary. The first seminar I applied for, got a response. I've been accepted. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Why right. things shouldn't be going this easy for
right.
me. So I'm like, cool. I have 75% tuition paid for by the Air Force. And I'm like, Lord, this is not what we discussed.
Right.
I said 100% of my tuition had to be paid for me to become a chaplain.
Go ahead.
So.
I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the seminary decided they wanted to give me 75% of my tuition to pay for also. Yeah, glory, hallelujah.
With money back.
I know, right? So, like, you got to be kidding me. I said, when and where does this happen?
Right.
And so, you know, I'm like one of the people who ever graduated probably from seminary where they were giving me money back.
Right.
You know, we went on other type things to mission trips, and we went to conferences and things like that that paid for.
Right.
So nothing out of pocket. No fees out of pocket, no books out of pocket.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I was buying other people books because I'm like, all of this money, I'm like, I might as well just help somebody else out. So I'm like, okay, God, I got it now.
Right.
So I'm fine. I'm good. I'll press forward. And so here I am now, a chaplain.
Amen. Because wow. That's an amazing story right
that's
there.
How God operates.
Yes.
That's how God operates. When God wants you to do something, you do it. And God begins to open every door for you.
Right. I think that really speaks to the obedience.
Like, yes.
I mean, God is not a negotiator, right? We negotiate with God.
I know, right?
But God, when he wants you in his will, mm-hmm. he will line things up perfectly for you to be right in his will. Amen. So
and he did.
So now you're a military chaplain.
I'm a military chaplain.
What's good about the chaplaincy? And so speak to me about this, you know, because I did 20 years in the military. And mm-hmm. I know that the chaplaincy does a lot of good, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of misunderstandings also. Can you speak to what's good, and can you speak to some of the misunderstandings that we have, that others have when they come to you as a military chaplain?
Okay. I think the best thing about being a chaplain, the good thing about being a chaplain, is number one, just being a chaplain mm-hmm. and understanding your calling and understanding God's will for your life in the midst of it all.
Right.
And when you do that, you can become the best type of chaplain God wants you to be.
Right.
And you have to have a heart for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the good part about it is you're able to get up and you get to go out in the masses, if you will. So we've been sent into the masses.
Mm-hmm.
We can go from squadron to squadron, group to group, flight to flight, and talk to them about any and everything that we want to talk to them about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about it is this, and we cannot proselytize, but we can evangelize. And I've done so.
Okay.
I'm who I am, and all chaplains need to be who they are.
Right.
So I can't stop being me.
Right.
And so in the midst of that, I will talk about God. I will talk about the Lord until someone says, you know, I heard enough, chaplain. I say, okay, cool, not a problem.
Right.
As long as they say something,
right.
then I can keep talking.
Amen.
And if not, I don't. And even when I'm doing counseling or whatever the case may be, I ask them, I say, now, can I bring you into my world?
Right.
My world is God's word.
Right.
And so they said, well, yes, sir. And then I began to speak unto those things. So those are the good things.
Wow.
About you can be who you are.
Right.
You can trust God that's going to take care of you in the midst of it all.
Right.
But understand, still be respectful.
Amen.
Be respectful in that. Now.
Oh, can I pause you for a second?
You may.
And I know you were going, but I think there's one thing that you said that my listeners really need to understand, and that I never understood,
mm-hmm.
that chaplains cannot proselytize, mm-hmm. which means try to convert you, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
From your religion to mine.
Exactly.
But we can evangelize,
yes.
which is tell you about the goodness of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is something that I think people really need to know and mm-hmm. understand.
Yes.
Is that I think some believers, don't have respect for chaplains simply
right.
because they not real because they don't
right.
tell people about Jesus, right? But that's really so important that you said that you can't proselytize,
right.
but we can evangelize, which
yes.
in Scripture never told us to proselytize anyway, right?
Right.
Scripture told us to evangelize.
Exactly.
I'm sorry mm-hmm. I cut you off.
That's good. It's a great point to know and to understand, and for future chaplains that's coming on board, be who you are in
yes.
the midst of that.
Yes.
Wherever you are, if this is what God is calling you to be, then be who God is calling you to be.
Amen.
So don't be afraid. Don't shrink, you know, from the word of God. Don't shrink from who you are. And just be respectful. If they don't want to hear about it, then if you respect them enough to be quiet at that point in time, oh, they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this isn't part of it, but I'm going to throw
okay.
it anyway. So I was just coming back from Honduras. I was deployed down there for Honduras for 6 months. And so I ran across a couple of people who decided they would become atheists or whatever the case may be. And why? Because the church hurt them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking to them and every day. And this is a good thing about what we can do as chaplains. We can talk about anything every single day we choose to.
Right.
So as I'm talking and seeing, and the individual say, well, you know what, sir? I'm going to come to church. It blew me away. I said, okay. I didn't pressure them. I didn't say anything like, hey, I invited them once and it's up to them to do so.
Right.
And I asked him, I said, why are you coming to church? He said, because of your light.
Mm. Wow.
He said, you haven't changed any. He said, and then you accepted me for who I said I was. And she said the same thing. So, yeah. So you accepted me for who I am right now. And I said, well, yeah. I say, because what I understand is this. Oftentimes what happened in the midst of people not believing God is they've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been hurt by the church. They haven't been hurt by God, but by the church.
Right.
Or the people in the church.
Right.
And so we have to understand and move past that.
Right.
And so if I ask you your story, mm-hmm. you will tell me your story. And in the midst of that story, I will know that you've been hurt somehow, some way, some shape, some form, some fashion.
Right.
And they say, well, how do you know? I say, I'm just sensing those things.
Right.
But I they say, well, you still remain who you are. You didn't pressure me, da 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 da. And so sure enough, they appear in church, and people are like, oh my God, people are in church.
Right.
Now, I never said anything to them that I invited them anything, because they don't need to know who invited them. They just need to know that what? They're there.
Right.
And so they were thrown aback because they also knew that they were atheists or whatever they were and wasn't ever stepping a foot back into the church.
Right.
But when you allow God to use you in the way in which God is going to do so, God's going to get the glory out of it anyhow.
Right.
And so just again, it goes back to being yourself, being real,
mm-hmm.
And just trusting the Spirit of God in you.
Amen.
Yes.
So just like any other calling, you know, mm-hmm. calling to start a ministry, a calling to be a worship leader, a mm-hmm. calling to evangelism, right? To, mm-hmm. For, traveling around the country, right? Would you say that the chaplaincy is also a calling?
It is.
And not a vocation. So, and the reason why I asked that question, because I think I've ran in my, I don't want to say seminary because it wasn't a mm-hmm. seminary, but in my Bible college mm-hmm. classes, I came across a lot of people who were in the ministry for vocation, mm-hmm. not calling.
Gotcha.
And I know that, I know this, and you correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. that the chaplaincy is sometimes looked at as a way to do ministry and make not a lot of money, but have a good job at the same time.
Right.
So can you speak to just a little bit about those who are not good at it is not the word, those who are successful
uh-huh.
and those who are not, with the idea that probably if you're in this for a vocation, you're not going to be successful.
And that's true. And so we do have some in each branch who are there for the vocation.
Okay.
Because they say, well, I couldn't make it, you know, as a pastor in a civilian world.
Right.
Okay, so if you couldn't make it then there's a place where you have to get with God and say, I'm not doing right. So now we join the Air Force or the Army or the Navy, Marine, and we try to figure out what we want to do now. So we are actually just in it for the vocation. And I say that because I was at a conference once. I don't know where it was. I just know I introduced myself, and in introducing myself, they knew that I was stationed at the same place this other chaplain was stationed. And he came and he told me, he said, you know, he said, the chaplain that works with you, he said, yeah, he said, he's a good chaplain. He's been a chaplain for a while and stuff like that. And he said, but I brought that chaplain to Christ. I said, huh? I said, huh? I don't know what else to say. I said, you brought that. He said, yeah, he didn't know that he needed to be saved. I said, really? I said, okay, cool. It's just so hard for me to believe that. But, and then when you see that oftentimes across the spectrum, I this is me. And I'll tell people in a minute, you know, I oftentimes question your Christianity. Why? Because you're not acting like God called mm-hmm. us to act.
Okay.
Not because I want to.
Right.
I'm watching what we do.
Right.
And if what we do doesn't line up with the word of God,
right.
then I get to now question your Christianity.
Fruit bearing.
Yes.
Right.
And so, but we do have those who in it for the vocation, but prayerfully in the midst of it all, they do come in it for the ministry.
Okay.
I've been in church since I was 14, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've already mentioned it. I was in the choir, junior usher. I mean, I was doing ministry. Mm-hmm. I was filling in where we need to be filling in, right, and things of that nature. To the point where I even, and this is the rub that got me to, learn how to do sign language.
Okay.
And doing sign language, my bishop told us, Bishop Trotter told me, he said to us, he says, you all are their pastors.
Right.
And I say, why do people keep trying to make me a pastor? Right. So he said, you know, the pastors, because after all said and done, after I get finished preaching, they come into you.
Mm-hmm.
I say, so you can see the face, but I have put a face on. But it was such that was so deep to me that I didn't, right, know what to do with it. I'm like, right, I'm saying, Lord, I'm trying to run, but every time I run to someplace, you reveal something else, mm-hmm, to me. And right, so all of it was to get me to understand ministry,
right,
before I was over ministry. So he used it for my good. He just turned it all, right, around for my, right, good. Okay, God, you're good.
Right.
Because I love you, you're going to make it work out for,
amen,
the good.
Amen.
And he did. So I bless God for that. But we have to be mindful as chaplains that we have a life that we must live before the people.
Yes.
Because the one thing that they don't want us living like them. They want us living different from them.
Yes.
So they can glean from us to, amen, say, this is how I want to be.
Amen.
And we do have chaplains who act like some of the people out there who do not act like they're in the church or Christ-like or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that out there to say that if you want to bring people to God, then you have to be in God yourself.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good. So as we're wrapping things up, I just got a couple more questions. And one of them is, you know, ministry to the military, mm-hmm, that's a little bit different.
It is.
Than it's going to be to, mm-hmm, our regular, it's not like our regular church on a corner. It's,
no,
not like, it's not even like a lot of our mega churches that we have.
No.
For our listeners that are in the military, mm-hmm, as we will have a few of those, that don't understand it, that don't understand your role as a chaplain or ministry to the military, mm-hmm, and those who are outside, mm-hmm, that don't have any affiliation to the military, or maybe there's even someone listening right now, mm-hmm, that's praying about it, and they want to do that, and they're just seeking answers on becoming a military chaplain. Can you talk to us about what is it? What's different about being a military chaplain?
The biggest difference is we get to minister to thousands and thousands of thousands of people worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already mentioned I was in Mildenhall, mm-hmm, over in England. I was in Okinawa, Japan. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm in McConnell. Scott Air Force Base. Louisiana. Barksdale Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. Maxwell Air Force Base. And so what I've done was I've ministered to all of these people, and which is mind-boggling, because God told me, he says, you're going to preach to more people that can fit inside of this stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, you have the wrong person.
Right.
You know, that's what I was saying.
Right.
Before I really accept the call, I'm like, right, I don't see how that's going to happen, because I don't want to actually be a pastor.
Right, I got you.
And so, but I've been able to minister and pastor to so many different people around the world that I didn't think I would be able to do so.
Right.
But understanding the calling that when I was put into chaplaincy, I became the gospel service pastor.
Amen.
They didn't call me chaplain. They called me pastor.
Wow.
So everywhere I went, they were calling me pastor as opposed to chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm ministering, so it's pastor, 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 pastor. So the difference for me was that having a pastor's heart, and I think this is what it was, because God told me in Jeremiah, I want to say 3:15,
right,
I will make you a pastor after my own, mm-hmm, heart.
Amen.
I said, well, then that's what I will be. That's who I will be. So, and that's how I began to minister from that point in,
mm-hmm,
life.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference again is I get to pastor to many people around the world, many different kinds of people from all backgrounds, mm-hmm, faith backgrounds, nationalities, you name it. I'm pastoring to all of them as opposed to just one little group of people.
Right, right.
And so I'm able to do that,
mm-hmm,
with the help of God and the Spirit of God, allowing people to hear what he wants them to hear through, mm-hmm, what I'm preaching.
Amen. Amen, amen.
Yes. And so don't forget, I've been deployed to three different times, to Honduras and Afghanistan twice.
Right.
So now I'm ministering to those people as well. And when I say them as well, I'm talking about some of the Afghanis. They're standing, listening to me, talking to me, and we're sharing.
Right.
And like, this is deep.
Right.
Other people from Turkey and stuff like that. So I've been able to minister again and pastor a lot of people that I never thought I would pastor.
Right.
And what happens in the midst of pastoring, if you will, if you're doing what God calls you to do, you're pastoring pastors to pastor other people.
Yes.
So they go out and they begin to talk about, hey, this, and they're saying all of these things about the new pastor or the pastor, and they're bringing people in to the church house.
Amen.
And that's how it's done. I can't bring people in.
Right.
People bring people in.
Amen.
And it's through the pastorship that we do that causes people to bring people in. It's through the love that we have for people.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Well, Pastor Neil, Chaplain Neil, this has been a great conversation, but I can't let you out of here without asking you the million-dollar question that we ask all of our guests
Okay. Before
they before we get off the show. Mm-hmm. So if you had to do it all over again, right? And I'm not even going to talk about from prior, but from the time you accepted your calling to the time that you said yes, Lord, to become a preacher of His gospel to today, 2022, is there anything that you would do differently?
Well, let me do this right quick. And I know you're talking about prior, but I need to do the prior thing first.
Okay.
If I can do it differently, the moment someone said to me, you're going to be a preacher, I would have accepted that call and walked through it.
Wow.
I would do that totally different.
Wow.
Why? Because I've learned that in the midst of, and we talked about it, in the midst of accepting God's calling for my life, how God began to open every single door
that needed
to have been opened.
Right.
I told your daughter, we were outside talking, we talked to everybody.
Right.
So I was telling her, I said, What happened with me in the midst of that was, I was in a Jonah's moment.
Right.
So what happened to me was I wasn't swallowed by the fish, but I was swallowed by the world.
Uh-huh.
And once I said yes to God, I was spewed out of the world's mouth.
Right.
And into God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything, hallelujah, praise the Lord God, just been beautiful.
Wow.
Blessed and awesome. So yeah. Wow. So that's what I would do differently in the midst of living now, doing things differently. I would probably, as a chaplain, let me rephrase that, as a deputy chaplain, because we move and stuff of that nature, mm-hmm. I would be more careful in what I say to chaplains who can't handle the truth.
Ah, that's deep right there. That's mm-hmm. that's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. But I think not even, as we wrap it up, now that you said that, not even as a chaplain, though, mm-hmm. just as a preacher,
right?
Sometimes people can't handle,
mm-hmm.
Because, the scripture talks about, you should be on meat,
right?
But you still drink it. Paul said, but you still drink milk.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I am treating, because my mistake mm-hmm. as a pastor, you say you're a minister.
Right.
So I'm treating you like you eat meat.
Right.
Exactly. All the time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you say you call.
Right.
However, you are definitely on milk.
Yes.
And I know that
mm-hmm.
because I've talked to you a few times.
Right.
I know that you're not the most mature person.
Right. Exactly.
So if I know that my child
mm-hmm.
can't walk.
Right.
Why would I buy him a bike with exactly. no training wheels? Exactly. You can't even walk.
I know, right?
So at the same time, mm-hmm. Why are we treating people, who say, mm-hmm. they've been in church for
all their lives.
Right. So here's how it worked for me. This is funny. Here's how mm-hmm. it worked for me. Oh, I've been in church
uh-oh.
My whole life. My dad's a pastor.
Yes.
Oh, okay. What church does your dad pastor? What's the name of the church?
Mm-hmm. And do you attend?
So I already know. Whoop.
Yes.
If you don't even know
mm-hmm.
the name
right.
of the church, mm-hmm. your father pastors.
Right.
I'm not even getting to the point, do y'all have a relationship?
Exactly.
You told me that mm-hmm. he pastors.
Yes.
So you should at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So I already know. Okay.
Right.
You're not. So why would I treat you like
exactly.
you're immature? So I apologize.
It's all good. So yeah. I'll put it this way. My grandmother.
Okay.
My wife's grandmother, but it's grandmother nonetheless.
Right.
So I, on this mission that I was fighting against, I'm always fighting against things. So as a kid, I tried telling them something. I was 16 years old, learning about God, reading the Word and everything else. And so I was telling them something about the Word of God. I can't remember what it was. And so they said to me, little boy, you can't tell me anything. I've been in church all my life. So I fast forward umpteen years later. My grandmother ill right now, and so God telling me I have to go and talk to her and ensure that she's saved. I said, God, you have the wrong person to tell grandmama she's not saved. I said, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
So I fasted, I prayed, I did all of the things that I needed to have done, and fine, I'm going to do this. So I go to Chicago. And I had to tell my grandmother that she wasn't saved. And but you don't leave it there, because in John, look at John, it says, but today salvation come to your household.
Right, right.
And so she accepted God in her life at that moment.
Wow.
See, what the thing is, and I say this, is that yes, you've been in church all your life, but the church has not been in you.
Right.
And I leave it at that.
Amen.
So, but God moved in that, and he's just keep blessing us. So
amen.
It was a daunting thing, but I thank God she accepted it, because that was grandmama. She
right.
She could have turned around and popped me in the mouth. But that one, but anyway, I love her. And the love I had for her allowed me to have the courage to go and tell what God wanted me to tell.
Amen. Chaplain Neil, this has been a blessing talking to you, my brother. I am so glad that we had this opportunity to hook up.
Thank you.
And you have been on a Young Upcoming Preachers podcast, where we're all about helping young upcoming preachers discover, develop, and deploy their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody needed to get in touch with you or wanted to learn about the chaplaincy, how would they go about doing that?
Wow. Facebook, K Neil. K-N Neil, I don't even know what he is now. No, just go ahead and email me, KNNTYRNNL@yahoo.com.
Amen.
Yes, so that's how you can do that, because I don't know, I just changed it, so I don't know.
Okay, all right. Uh-huh. Well, God bless you, sir, and I pray that all is well for the rest of your day. Young Upcoming Preachers, we just spoke to Chaplain Kenny Neil, and he was a blessing to us.